Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the Island Change Nation, in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's freaking gorgeous down here, you know. It's starting to get a bit colder, a little bit windier, as everybody in the Northern Hemisphere starts to get a little bit warmer and a little bit calmer with artificial chemtrail snow. My very special guest does not exist. Today, it is Vinnie Au Naturel. I don't know what's been happening these last couple of weeks. Guests seem to be cancelling left, right, and centre. It hasn't happened for a long time. I guess it's, you know what it is? I think I've figured it out what it is. It's me, right? I think I've been a bit slack lately. I've grown very, very lackluster and sort of depressed a little bit about that whole PayPal situation that happened over a month ago. Because when you work, you build up your income for like 3 years or whatever, and it's passive, so you don't have to keep working, but you keep working anyway, and you're quite happy to do it because you know that at the end of the week, every single day, a bit will be coming in to help pay the bills and such. And then when PayPal fracked me, oh my God, threw me for a loop. It's still recovering. You know, it took me 3 years to get to that point where I was actually able to survive, you know, without too much difficulty, any of those bills that come out that are like, oh my God, that's a massive bill. How the hell am I going to pay that? Everybody gets those unexpected bills. I was able to pay those. It was like, oh my God, the listeners are supporting me that much. But not anymore. Thank you, PayPal, you bunch of fracks. But anyway, we got a new PayPal account sorted out. So if you are capable of supporting me, and I implore you, please do, go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com homepage, and you can do three things, other than, you know, peruse the content and the jokes and the funny pictures and stuff that we've got on there. You can either A1, if you don't know how to, you know, do international banking or whatever, use the PayPal, which is got a buy now. You know, you can donate 5, 10, 20, 100 bucks, 200, 500 bucks, whatever. And then you could also, again, in lieu of international banking ability, subscribe through PayPal for as little as $1 a month. And it doesn't matter whether or not you donate or subscribe for a certain amount of money every month or just do a once-off of $1 or whatever. I'll still give you access to the commercial-free archives. Frack it. You know? I don't really care. Just need support to continue doing this program, giving coverage to people. And there's also, after the show today, if you are listening live, and I'm sure the majority of people don't, I'll be on a show with a man named Mo Bedard directly after my program today, so that's going to be nice and happy. Nice. Good stuff. And also, you know, I'm just a little bit kind of bleh today. Where the hell is my coffee? Oh, there it is. Let me just reach that thing. It was well out of reach. Okay. I don't know how anybody else copes without coffee. I know people that don't drink coffee. So, dude, there's something wrong with you. Because if you don't drink coffee, there's something wrong with me. Because I'm just like, oh, God, can't do it. Even when you wake up in the morning, mate, without the coffee, just nothing gets done. Like, seriously. Remember I took a week off? I think it was at the start of this month, I think I took a week off and decided that I would, you know, I would forego the coffee for a week. Worst decision I ever made in my life. I was munted, absolutely munted. Like, have you ever had that feeling as if I move right now, I'm going to die? It was like that, but it happened for an entire week due to lack of coffee. Unbelievable. Unfreaking believable. Out of all drugs in the world, I seriously think caffeine is by far the most socially acceptable and addictive. One of the lot. All right. Again, what do you got? Cocaine, heroin, whatever. Bugger all people do that. And I can guarantee you that if everybody in the world was suddenly out of coffee, it would be like a strung-out heroin addict rampage going on around here. Except it would be a hell of a lot more subdued because nobody would have any energy to actually go out and cause riots or do anything because they'd just be like, oh, dude, I can't be bothered. You know, public transport would shut down. Nobody would be working the night shift, which would be dead, you know. Society would collapse. I can see. Look, the British Empire was built on the banks of cups of tea. The current empire of the New World Order is built on the back of cups of coffee, which is, in my opinion, it's stronger than tea. I don't know. I've never really done a test to kind of verify that. How much caffeine is in coffee versus how much caffeine is in tea? I don't know. Anyway, I'm talking about completely irrelevant drug taking here. I was out doing a comedy gig last night. Not doing a comedy gig, filming one. My sister was in it. And, you know, it's good to go out and have a few laughs. You know, it was just like, dude, these people are really, really hilarious. Like, it's beyond a joke, as it were, how funny people can really be. And I was just thinking about this. You know what? I'll tell jokes of mine, which are very much, you know, truth-oriented. People just don't get it. You know? They just don't get it. They go, What? I don't get it. Like, for example, a new type of government system has been found out. It's called an evilarchy. It's a mixture of evil, an oligarchy, and malarchy. Now, see, I find that relatively amusing. Other people, non-truthers, it's not funny at all. Just thinking about this. You know, there's good truth of comedy out there, isn't there? Isn't there? There are some comics that are really good at what they do. Unfortunately, the best ones are dead. You know? George Carlin, Bill Hicks, all gone. And those are the best that I've ever found in terms of telling the truth whilst making people laugh. And I really admire those guys because that's part of the baseline of the show, isn't it? In a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And I understand how difficult it is for everybody out there and how crappy life can be. I was just thinking about this the other day. You get born and life instantly sucks for you. You know, have you ever noticed that? There's all these rules imposed on you. There's all this stuff that you have to do that you don't want to do, you know, go to school and all this other stuff, go to work. It's like your whole life's planned out for you, specifically with the reasoning behind it being if you don't have things planned out for you, you might become something great, something wonderful, something that could actually change humanity for the better. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that having a little bit of planning and all of that stuff does improve things a little bit. But when you're flying by the seat of your pants and you get used to it, you tend to accomplish a lot of really incredible things that you never thought you would because, hey, they're just not part of the plan. Like, there's certain people who only plan things, okay? And they miss out on every single other opportunity that falls on their lap. You know, Dad, could you pull over to the gas station? It looks like they've got a really cool Native American Indian reserve shop there with all sorts of stuff that we could buy and or look at. And go, no, sticking to the plan. So any opportunity that comes up, if you have a plan, you automatically miss out on that opportunity because it's not part of the plan. And I was just thinking about this as well, is how much of this show's actually really planned? And the answer is not a whole lot. I mean, guests are planned, and the guests aren't really planned by me per se, because you, the listeners, suggest who all the guests are. I don't know who 99% of these people are. What have we got here this week? We've got, I don't know, nearly 10 people that were scheduled, I don't know a single one of them. Apart from maybe on this Thursday, I've got a man named Nigel to talk about the Palestinian Authority. But other than that, you know, I'm really swimming and flying by the seat of my pants quite easily. It's not that difficult for me. Most people can't do this. I was interviewed by Nancy Duterte, the skeptical psychic, on Friday, and she was aghast that I could do 5 days a week of radio show with virtually zero planning. Yeah, for me, hey, it's nothing. It's all part of the plan to have no plan. You know what I'm saying? And people might say, "Oh, Vinny, that's a bit unprofessional, don't you think? Not walking through or checking up on your guests or your websites and blah blah blah." And I was just like, "Well, dude, look, the world's been currently run by professionals, right? How's that working out for you? Hasn't been working out too well, as far as I can see. So frack it, man. I think we need a little bit of amateurishness. I think we need a little bit of fun. We need a little bit of semblance of ordinarity, if that's even a frickin' word. How can we live in a world that is 100% planned for us? It's called socialism, isn't it? Full-on, hardcore tyranny. Unbelievable that people really accept all this. Well, it's actually not unbelievable. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? You get born into a system that your parents are brainwashed by to brainwash their kids into being part of the system as well. Oh, we've got to send you to this private school. We've got to send you to these after-school extracurricular activities. You've got to get a job. You've got to... Even better yet. You've got to go to school. Then after school, you're going to go to more school called university, which will teach you even more useless crap. Then you've got to get a job and be a slave. And then you've got to find some person to marry. And then you've got to breed. And then you've got to brainwash your kids into going to school, then getting a job, and then going to college, and then getting a house, and then getting married and having kids themselves. Right? The cycle perpetuates itself perfectly. Yet, some people are starting to break out of that. Like, hold on a second. Why do I have to go get a slave job, Dad? I don't get it. It's not something that's going to really make me happy. It's not something that's going to change the world for the better. It's not something that's, for lack of a better term, worth my fracking time. Why is it that we live our lives like this? I think it's because, hey, we don't really have a lot of choice in most cases, do we? We're compounded by our responsibilities. I've got the kids, so that means I need a job because I've got to feed the kids. You know, I can't just suddenly teach the kids how to feed themselves or go out into the garden and stuff like that and grow their own vegetables because that's just not enough, because you've also got to clothe them and you also got to pay for the water and the power and so on and so forth. And you got to drive them places and buy them Christmas presents and what have you. You know, we're all slaves to this cash thing. You know, I don't like it. But the fact of the matter is, I don't have a freaking choice. I'm a slave to cash. Say it with me. I am a slave to cash. Yes, you are. Welcome to the new world. Don't you love it? Somebody could print out a freaking piece of paper that would take us hours and hours and hours to earn. Just one of those pieces of paper. And they can print off a million of them. Just like that. Nobody, unbelievable, you know. There's this old saying about, oh, you got to earn from the sweat of your brow. How much sweat on your brow is there if you press a motherfracking button and print out some motherfracking money? You don't sweat at all. And yet all of us, the slave class, that's basically what we are, not the working class, we're the slave class. We've got no power. It's all been taken away from us. Well, our rights have been taken away. We have to work for hours upon end just in order to make ends meet. These people press a button, they get $1 million. We have to work for 25 years or something in order to earn $1 million-ish. You know, like that's how much the average person earns, and like, you know, over about 40, maybe a 40-year period or something. You know, if you're doing relatively well. Goodness. And where does all that money go? It certainly doesn't go into your bank account. It certainly doesn't buy you a house because you've just got to pay to survive, right? Even slaves back in the day had their lodgings and their food paid for them. We are the most enslaved population that has ever lived. And you know what's funny about that is we think we're free. Brilliant. Freaking brilliant. You listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you go freaking nuts. And we'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. Was a loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. And I was also thinking, filmmaking. Oh my God, that's a tough business. We've been trying to make this film for the InfoWars competition, right? And then we had a look closer at the at the things that you will win if you win. First prize is like $100,000, but also you have to go then and work for InfoWars in order to keep that $100,000. And I was just like, yeah, nah, I've already got a gig here, bro. I'm cool, you know, because then you'd have to go and be a filmmaker and you'd be working under somebody. And I'm not that kind of a person. I can't work for anybody ever again. I'll work with people. Sure. I'll work with anybody. But if they want me to work for them, you know, like some kind of an underling, nah, bro, not keen. Yeah, so we're not going to be entering that that film competition after all. But we did produce a really quite fabulous radio play out of it. You can have a look for that one on my YouTube channel. I think it's Alex Jones Film Competition. If you search that on my YouTube channel, it should come up with it. And we're going to redo that a little bit better and make a short film out of it and enter it into other short film competitions that are out there. It's a bit of a truther thing, so maybe people won't get it, but I think, hey, how else exactly is the truthers going to break into the mainstream and really become the dominant factor on this planet if we're not dominating the airwaves, if we're not dominating what people see, what people feel? You know, there's got to be some way of bridging the gap. I think we try all the time, well, at least most people do, try to convince their friends or convince their families about 9/11 or vaccines or fluoride. You just get called a crazy conspiracy theorist and they switch off completely. But you can't stop talking about it because it's true. And then they get really irritated that you don't stop talking about it and start to hate you for it. My God, what a pain in the ass. You know, and also, this is the other thing. You start to develop an anti-human mentality, just like the New World Order. I've seen it many times. You get into the truth movement. You just want to wake people up. You want to save humanity. And then you realize that some people don't want to be saved. That some people really love their enslavement. That people are basically totally brainwashed. And there's nothing you can do to convince them. And then it depresses you. And you go, oh, goodness, it's not worth it, these frickin' slave scum, etc., etc. Unfortunately, that's what the New World Order wants you to do. They want you to stop caring about each other. They want you to stop trying to wake people up. Playing right into their frickin' hands. You're becoming one of them. Like everybody who calls the slaves the sheeple. I find that, yeah, I get it, it's ironic, yes. I think that slaves is not a derogatory term because I consider myself one too. You know, people would argue with me and you're wrong. Okay, you're just wrong. I'm a slave because I have to pay for the roof over my head. I'm a slave because I can't really own anything without it being taken away from me. I'm a slave because I don't have sovereign rights. Okay? So are most of us. Yeah, we think slave is a derogatory term, you know, and I'll call people and I'll tell somebody, oh, bro, you're a slave. And they'll get angry with me and go, no, I'm not. I make my own choices. I have my own free will. Dude, you don't have free will. You don't have your own choices that you're making. Most of the things that are happening in life are being made for you. Okay? The government will take away whatever freedoms you got left anyway. And then it'll just become obvious that you're a slave when you were a slave all along. It's sad, but true. Get used to it. Just because you're a slave, though, doesn't mean you can't rise up. Doesn't mean you can't mess around with the boss's daughter, as it were. There's lots of opportunities to mess with our slave masters. And we should be taking every opportunity, I think. It's a lot more productive to think of ways, ironically, to destroy the things that are destroying us. Don't you find that funny? You can come up with infinite schemes because we're enslaved in every single way. So therefore, you could conceivably sort it out in every single way. Okay, it doesn't matter what the heck's affecting you right now because it's affecting everybody. Let's say you're ticked off about chemtrails or whatever. Hey, you know, there's plenty of things you can do about chemtrails. I'm just kidding. You can't do nothing about them. You're screwed. You know, like, what are you going to do? Shoot down one of the planes? You know? I mean, see, that's freaking terrorism, bro. That's taking violence to the next step. Again, what the New World Order wants us to do. You can't do that. You can make documentaries. You can bring up talk radio, mainstream talk radio. In fact, I've been listening to it recently a little bit, you know, while driving in the car. And it's just sport 90% of the time. It bores the living frack out of me. The hell's the point? You know, what the hell's the point? Oh, this team did that and they scored such and such against blah, 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 blah. You're talking about it like it's the most important thing in frickin' existence, you moron. You gotta be frickin' kidding me. Yet people really do devote their lives to it. They can actually talk for hours about sport. I don't comprehend the mentality. I could possibly talk for hours about humanity, about globalism, about the banking system and how it scams you, about the global pedophile rings, about infinite things that actually really matter, that are really happening, that really affect people. And most people won't want to listen to it. They'd rather tune it off and listen to the sport. You know? And I would think to myself, if I was a bitter person, I think I kind of am a little bit bitter. If I was a bitter person, I'd go, oh, you slave scum, you know, go here with your sport and whatnot, and don't listen to me. You're just going to die, be exterminated. You know? Well, you know, live and let live. Unless somebody messing with me directly, they're off my radar, pretty much. And that doesn't include the New World Order, because look, if I had the opportunity to overthrow all these scumbags, all their control apparatus, all the raping of children and manipulation of the stock market and the gold trade and all of these other things that are going on right now, orchestrated in some eclectic way by the same people, if not the same just kind of people. I would. You know, if there was a button, I would press it. No such button exists. There's no such thing as a silver bullet. These people didn't bring the system to bear in a day. Okay, Rome wasn't built in a day. We can sure as hell fall in a day. There's an old Zen proverb. Right, what was it? Fruit takes a long time to ripen, but it falls instantly. Now, I'm going to thought about what that meant. I think it's something along the lines of really good things take a while. But really, the implementation of good things happens very, very quickly. So we're sitting here, we're talking about the New World Order, we're exposing scumbaggery, we're being nice to each other in the chat rooms or in the YouTube comment sections, Facebook and what have you, you know, making friends. And we're doing the right thing. We're living happy, healthy, semi-productive lives. And we have a pure mentality behind it of actually caring. Right? I think that that is the fruit that is ripening. And I think that one day, all of us collectively doing our own thing individually, you know, collective is just an abstraction. Just kind of exists out of all the individuals. There's no such thing really as a collective, but if a whole bunch of people are doing all little things completely independent of each other, it has a collective effect. That's what I'm talking about here. You don't want to promote collectivism and say, oh, we should all come together in a group and do such and such and blah, blah, blah. Don't need that anymore. We've got the ability now with technology and just human creativity. One man can accomplish, or woman for that matter, can accomplish pretty much anything then dang well choose. You don't need permission. All you need is determination and a vision. And you can accomplish it. What is it that you really want to accomplish? You know, do you want to overthrow the New World Order? Do you want to destroy some kind of real nasty apparatus that kidnaps children or something like that? Go out and do it. You'll suffer consequences. Sure. It might even cost you your life. But what's your life worth if you sit back and do nothing while everybody else's lives and liberties are being taken off them and yours too? That's where I'm coming from, is that my life is worth nothing unless I am striving to be a better person, to create a better world in some way. In any way that I can. Otherwise, I just kind of lose my mojo and just go, you know what? Life ain't worth it. So I'm sitting down and I'm watching TV every day and playing computer games every other minute and drugging myself up. And then just go, oh, well, can't be bothered. I feel so depressed. What's the point? It's like being unemployed with a benefit. You just lose your purpose for life. Well, some people do anyway. Others, like myself, I think I went on a sickness benefit for the first year, going out and I was working every single day. Every single day. I was going out there and filming protests or public meetings and uploading them to YouTube. I was busting my hump because I had that little bit of money every week from the government to finance myself. It was nowhere near enough, but luckily I also had a girlfriend to mooch off who's still with me today. And the thing that really came out of that is I love the irony of it. I was using the government's own system to finance my own personal vendetta and war against the system. That is the best way. That's the best way to do it, you know, use your enemy's own resources against them. You know, people might argue with me and say, hey, look, Vinny, you know, you're just using the people's money and what have you, you shouldn't be doing that. Dude, there are people out there every single day, and I know they get demonized and Benny bashed and what have you, but this group of characters does exist. My auntie is one of these people who wants to mooch as much as you possibly freaking can without having to work. And it matters not how many times you lie to the state unemployment office, just as long as you tell the right lies so that they give you money for them. Okay? These people exist. And apparently, they exist in relatively vast numbers. They're professional moochers. You know, me, I'm a bit of an amateur mooch. You know, I like to earn things and what have you. And every time that I went down to the state unemployment office after they cut my sickness benefit off, I was, I told the truth. Stupid man, stupid man. And as a result of telling the truth, I get all my benefits cut. And then I have to reapply and go and jump through all these other hoops. And I was just like, well, fuck that. And I went out and I tried to start making money in alternative ways, you know, selling DVDs at public meetings and protests and things of that nature, asking for subscriptions and donations from the listeners, because I don't want to be part of the government's control system anymore. I mean, it used to be that, you know, it's no big worries. I can do it. It's easy. And then, of course, they make you jump through a whole bunch of hoops, and it's just not worth it anymore. It's just not freaking worth it. How many times? How many times does it happen when you suddenly realize that whatever you're doing right now just ain't worth it and you want to quit and change? And then how many times do you actually change? I think that was probably the most important lesson for me overall, is that I finally made a decision. I'm not going to be a slave. Even if I am one, I'm going to perpetually deny it and work against my own enslavement. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. It's going to be. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Yeah. Hey, if anybody's seen that movie, The Punisher, the recent one, a great scene with that song playing, where the dude's getting beaten up by this giant Russian sailor dude. Frank, it's so funny. So funny. Anyway, I've been really... Like I was saying in the first segment here, I've been kind of really slack and feeling kind of down, you know, when I want to reiterate this. When your money source dries up and you have to start all over from again, you just get so disheartened by the fact that you have to start all over again that you just don't want to do it. You know, you're just like, oh, God, I'm bothered. But I don't have a choice, really, because I got bills to pay. So please, you are the person who has my life in your hands. If you go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and subscribe for as little as $1 a month or give us a donation of any amount, we'll give you some commercial-free archives. Okay? That's really all I can offer you. I can't offer you a hell of a lot more. I mean, I'll give you my cell phone number and landline number and Skype and all of these other things. So if you want to talk to me, you can. No worries, man. I am more than happy to talk with my listeners and particularly my donators and subscribers. And I tell each of them this whenever they send me a little bit of money for anything. And what I found really strange is that very, very few people actually take me up on that offer. They think I'm too busy to take their calls or whatever. it's just not the case. Like, I find that oftentimes I wish somebody would give me a ring and just have a chat, you know, somebody who I've not met before, you know. Hey, Vinny, do you remember me? No, I don't. Oh, well, I gave you $50. Oh, now I remember you. You know. And then I can just talk for hours and hours. Really, you know, that's kind of what I love doing, is just talking with people, having some fun and getting to know each other. Like when people walk up to me and say, oh, you're Vinny Eastwood, and I go, well, you know who I am. I don't know who you are, though. Please inform me. And that's how you really get to know people, I feel, is that, you know, you got to actually care. You know, I feel that when you're what's the dynamic here? And how does this affect other radio show hosts? Because I don't know, because I'm not really that big. But the fact of the matter is there are too many people listening to talk to every one of them. And most of the people listening won't want to come and talk to you because they feel that, oh, it'll be a waste of your time. I'm not worth talking to for you or whatever. I just want to show my support silently in the background. You know, that sounds honorable and noble. But at the same time, I'm kind of missing out on the opportunity to get to know you to a large degree. I don't know what's going on in the minds of people that I don't know, you know? So you can't really expect people to do anything. All you can do is offer. And you can't ask for something that I offer freely, you know. Vinny, can I call you? It's just like, why is my cell phone number on that email that I sent you, bro? If not, to give me a call, just go ahead, do it. And something that George Norrie told me actually when I was interviewing him. If you haven't heard that that interview, or some of the best interviews that we've done on this show over the years, are at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com featured interviews page, and they should be good. And also, I have the an inkling that my life doesn't really mean so much to a lot of people, you know. It's just like, he's doing a radio show, who cares, who cares? You know, and I've come to realize this over the year, that I'm not important to as important to other people as I think that I am to myself. I'm not sure how that comes out. Maybe it comes out a bit wanky. But here's the point. I have lots of friends who I talk to, you know, on a regular basis, who don't listen to my show, have never listened to my show. Okay, yet still we talk to them. And it's just because I'm doing a show or something like that doesn't mean people are obligated to listen to it. You know? I don't really mind. I mean, if they do, great. There's plenty of awesome people that we have on the show all the time that are really fun and caring and decent individuals who have a lot of really interesting information to give out that I think people should know. But just because I'm not the most popular radio show host in the world, I can't expect that everybody will care about the things that I say or the things that I do, or that they'll notice. And there's the other element as well, is that somebody will say, oh, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And I say, well, I've already done it. Here's the links, and so on and so forth, you know, for a particular guest that I've interviewed or a particular topic or something. And there are usually these people who approach you out of absolutely freaking nowhere, don't know you from a bar of soap, probably have never listened to the show more than once or twice, and then ramble on about how much stuff I don't talk about. Dude, go to the archive section at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and you scroll through. There is nary a topic that has not been discussed on the show. And if there is a topic that has yet to be discussed on the show, send me a guest, okay? Send me their contact email address. That's all I require. And I will get that person on the show. This is no holds barred, no taboo topics, American Freedom Radio styles, okay? We will interview anybody that you want us to interview.
we will interview them, and we will put the archives up on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and also on the YouTube channel and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
There's no worries, man. This is the job. This is the job that I'm here for. I'm here to serve you, to make sure that things that you think should be heard by people get heard. You don't have a radio platform. I do. So that obligates me to let you have a part of it. I don't know anybody, any other radio show host that do that. I don't know any other radio show hosts in America from New Zealand either, but the other element is you've got to understand the importance of roles like mine as well, just to the broader general truth movement community, because there's so many wonderful radio show hosts out there that I encourage people to listen to, but there's only so many hours in the day. There's only so many people that you could possibly listen to, and you may find somebody who's better than me and then just never listen to me again. Sure, fine. It's a free market, isn't it? And I also consider that the people who work all day, every day, just to make this kind of stuff happen, like the people at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or the people at UnitedWeStrike.com, the monthly marathon that I'm on. Just being able to provide a platform, let alone do a show, is an extraordinary challenge and a massive quantity of work for which there is usually very little time off, massive stress, and also, of course, costs. You know, it's not cheap to run all of these things. I mean, it's cheaper than having giant, massive studios and things of that nature. I'm very lucky that everything that I've got in my studio, from the cameras to the microphones to the printer and what have you that I'm doing, printing my DVDs with, that's all been bought for me. So I've never had to bear the cost. But bear in mind that there's other people out there who don't accept charity. You know that? There's people out there who give freely of their own time and effort in order to help humanity move forward in some way, shape, or form, who refuse to accept donations or help of any kind. It's extraordinary. I don't comprehend that mentality, namely because I couldn't afford to do it even if I wanted to. But yeah, this is the obligation. It's kind of like Knights of the Round Table, honor, respect, decency, morality, all those good things. Particularly honor, I think, because is it an honorable line of work to host an unpopular radio show that will only reach a segment of the population just to help that small section of the population, being truthers, deal with every day? You know? Because, hey, if you know what's going on, everything pisses you off. Everything. You can't look at anything without thinking about it for too many seconds without thinking, man, that thing's poisoning me, it's killing me, it's there from the New World Order, I'm surrounded by it. You know, you might be living in a slave block in the slave city, driving getting on slave transport, buying slave drugs from the alcohol store, and smoking slave cigarettes, paid for with slave money, and sending your kids to a slave school so that they can learn how to be proper slaves and stuff like that, and then drinking your slave fluoride and making sure that you wash it down with some slave aspartame, and then get yourself Parkinson's like Michael J. Fox after he did all the Diet Pepsi commercials. You know, it can be real nasty if you start thinking about it. And I encourage you to think about it, but also to laugh about it. Because if you can't laugh about it, it will destroy you. Reality destroys you if you lose your sense of humor, okay? People do go insane in this movement. Don't let the nut bar get you. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand, the island change nation, in the sunny slave South Pacific that now has legalized gay marriage. The 13th, the luckiest country, the lucky country. And I wanted to talk about gay marriage as well. And here's the interesting thing about it. You can't even open up the debate without offending both sides. You notice that? If you say, I don't like gay marriage, then all of a sudden you're homophobic. If you're saying, I do like gay marriage, all of a sudden you're immoral. And you know, honestly, this is something that I don't know exactly where I stand on. This is something that I don't think actually frickin' matters in the least. Somebody wants to get married, go and have married, you know. People used to do it back in the day all the time. You know, you find somebody who will marry you when you run away with a farmer's daughter, go right ahead. Why not if you marry with a farmer's son? I don't get it. And my friend Paul, he said gay marriage is a stupid thing. He's gay, and he says gay marriage is a stupid thing. Because he says something along the lines of, you know, two men getting married seems like the craziest idea in the world because, something along the lines of getting divorced and taking each other's money or something like that. You know, I thought it was quite funny. I can't remember exactly what he said, though. I probably just balls that one up. But, you know, I've talked to some people who are very, very anti-gay marriage. And they keep repeating themselves over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. It's wrong because it's unnatural. And a friend of mine, I think I might actually be able to give a demonstration for some of the YouTube listeners as well. A friend of mine was asked, you know, why do you disagree with homosexuality just in general? And he grabs a plug and he inserts the plug into it. And he says, that's why. Because there's a certain orifice that certain things are meant to be stuck into, and that's the end of the frickin' story. You know, and on a purely physical level, you know, he's right. However, on the other hand, homosexuality has existed for a long, long time. Apparently, Alexander the Great used to have boy lovers and what have you. So I honestly don't know. I don't understand the debate or the question fully, because I think in order to get the answers, you need to better understand the questions. Don't you think? There's a little bit of tentativeness, and I'm not very tentative at the best of times. You know, I normally just roll right in, guns blazing, chips fall where they're made type of thing. But on this issue, it's very different for me because I'm unsure. I'm not unsure because, I worry about whether or not people will judge me on what I think or say, but because I don't know what I think or say about gay marriage. As far as I'm concerned, it's a misnomer. Doesn't matter. Does the structure and fabric of society change that people who were used to be illegal, like it used to be illegal in New Zealand to be gay? Right, you go to jail. You're a man who loves another man. Okay, you go to jail. And then they legalized that, and yet it was still illegal for them to get married because the church wanted to protect the sanctity of marriage while they raped small boys. So just think about that for a second. Then again, there's other things of a scientific nature to bring into play here. Apparently, there were some experiments with bovine estrogen. They gave, I think, injections or something along those lines. I don't know how exactly they did it. They allegedly gave a whole bunch of bovine estrogen to bulls, and those bulls turned gay and started presenting themselves to other bulls. Say, whoa, there's something strange going on here. What's BPA? Bisphenyl alanine. It's in almost everything. Like, in all the major printer inks, in lots of the plastics that we drink out of, or if you happen to be eating your food with a spork that's made out of plastic with the bisphenol A in it, isn't it? So there's the other side of the debate, which is not talked about, I don't see, is how much chemical composition is responsible for some homosexuality. I had on, I think, Dr. Catherine Albrecht, don't quote me on that, and I asked her, what is the one thing that you generally do not talk about on your radio program to do with drugs? Okay, you know, the pharmaceutical drugs that they prescribe for everybody for this, that, and the other. And she says, point blank, how it turns people gay. And I was like, whoa, whoa, what are you talking about? Somebody takes an SSRI drug and suddenly they become gay? She goes, well, yeah, it happens. In many cases of men who are happily married go on these drugs, and after about a month or so, they leave their wife and they run off with another man. And then at a later point, they go off the drugs and suddenly they're straight again. And they really regret and it's destroyed their lives. So that's interesting too, isn't it? Because there's a debate about whether or not homosexuality is a natural phenomenon. And I'm not 100% convinced that it's entirely natural or entirely artificial. I think it's something in between. But I don't have the evidence. Here's the thing. Somebody could say homosexuality is natural and so on and so forth, but they don't have the blood tests with various levels of estrogen and so on and so forth. Like, how can you tell from a blood test whether or not somebody is gay? That would be something that would be of intense interest to me, because I'm interested in figuring stuff out. You know, it's not because I'm an anti-gay agenda or something like that. I've got gay friends. They can get married if they want to. Most of them don't want to because they think marriage will trap them. You know, it's freaking hilarious. And the other side of the coin is exactly what is the other agendas that are associated with this? Because you talk about the breakdown of society. By the New World Order, they want to destroy the family unit. Now, if you're gay, can you have a family? No, you can't. Right? Physically, it's not possible. So then you have the other elements that are brought into the equation, surrogacy or adoption and things of that nature. And then people, again, come up with this moral question. Is it moral to allow gay people to have this, that, and the other? And I think, well, it depends on the individual. If that particular person is a total douchebag, and this is how I judge it as well. I don't judge you by your sexuality or what you do behind closed doors. That's your freaking business. If you are, on the other hand, an actual bad person who actually does damage to other people and or their private property, then I've got a problem with you. Beyond that, no, not really. It's your freedom. But, you know, this debate ignites a lot of people. And I can understand perhaps why they get all up in arms over it. You know, the gay community got practically militant over the issue. And we had gay politicians pushing this policy. And then at the result of poll testings, 80-odd% of New Zealanders said, no, we don't want to legalise gay marriage. Government passes it anyway. So then I start thinking, the government's under the control of the New World Order, directly under the control of the New World Order, and nothing would come through without their stamp on it and their say-so. So is there some kind of hidden agenda? I'm not saying there is. I'm not saying I wish there was. All I'm saying is every single time the government that's controlled by the New World Order passes a law, it's not a good law. There hasn't been a good law passed in 100 years. Goodness knows how much further back than that. laws just seem to get worse and worse and worse. You know, back in the day, there was the Magna Carta of King John, guaranteed everybody their rights and liberties and private property and so on and so forth. That was the only law that you really needed. Even still through till this day, you don't really need any extra laws. And then people will argue and go, oh, well, it's a very different world today. It's like, no, it isn't. Not really. Human beings are still the same stupid, fracked-up creatures that we always were, man. We're still trying to kill each other. We're still raping and pillaging and messing up the planet. What's so radically different? Right now we've got technology, you know, like somehow you've got a car and you've got to have specified laws for how much tread you can have on the tires and what its condition has to be in and what have you. See, I don't understand that either. Why exactly have we got so many rules here? Because, you know, it should be up to personal choice. Then again, you're putting people in danger, allegedly. Now, here's another thing. If something's putting people in danger, why do they make it illegal? All right, think about it. Is it illegal because it's dangerous, or is it dangerous because it's illegal? You know, like smoking weed, for example. Somebody is smoking a joint, cop comes up to them, busts them, puts them down on the ground, knee in their back, handcuffs on, cuts into their wrists, takes them into the police station, laughs at them, beats them up in the cells, takes their fingerprints, takes their DNA sample, throws them in the cells for a couple of hours, and then lets them out. And then he's got to go to court the next week or something or whatever. So he's got to tell his boss, look, I'm a criminal, I was caught smoking pot. And then you've got to go into court, and then you've got to hope that there's some kind of a judge there who will be slightly more lenient on you than perhaps another judge. Then you've got to pay some frickin' high fancy lawyer $1,700 for just turning up twice and just going, yep, we're pleading guilty. Okay? What caused more damage? If he'd just been left to smoke his joint, he would have gone home happy and probably had a nice sleep. Maybe a little bit of it with maybe a funky dream. See, again, this ignites the debate, as it were. Is there something wrong with gay marriage? We've already had civil unions. People didn't seem to sue up in arms at that. And yet there's, I think it might be partly religious. Do you think? Because if you're thinking about this, right, really, really thinking about it, it's the sacred bond of man and woman that defines a marriage, isn't it? Right? Is that what we're being told? And what's the sacred bond between priest and choir boy got to do with that? So there's inherent hypocrisy. And I wonder if there's hypocrisy on both sides and whether or not there's any even point in the debate of gay marriage whatsoever. Who freaking cares? They can do what they want. I can get married to who I want. So can my missus. So can you. And yet somehow we need a law passed in order to give people this basic, simple, obvious freedom. You know? Because they want some piece of paper that registers them as a married couple in the documents so that they can be registered with the government or something like that. That's what people want. I don't get it. And on the other hand, I heard that if you are married and you've got a registered marriage certificate and what have you, it gives the state custody of your children if they choose it. You know that? I don't know if that's true, but it sounds about right. Why would they get you to sign a document or something like that when you're just expressing your love for each other if there wasn't something in it for them? Maybe... the gay marriage thing actually works against homosexual people. Maybe it's an elaborate scheme by the government to steal all their resources and any children they may have fathered or mothered out of previous relationships or something of that nature. I don't know. But the point is, mate, there's been a huge debate over this. It has eclipsed everything except the Boston bombing, of course. I do consider that this is a difficult topic for some people. And I see people get angry over the very mention of any positive leanings towards gay marriage as well. It's really divided people, hasn't it? That's intensely interesting to me. And I want to know why. I want to know why because I don't like having things that are out there that are in front of your face every day that I don't comprehend. I don't know why gay people are gay. I don't know why the government is passing the Gay Marriage Amendment Bill. I don't know why it was illegal to be gay in the first place or why it was not lawful for gay people to be married. I don't know. And because I don't know, I can't form a really much of an opinion on it. And yet, most people have formed an opinion on it, despite the fact that they're in the same position of, I don't freaking know, as me. Am I the only one that sees something weird about this? That there's something else going on? That things perhaps need to be a bit more cleared up for people before they make decisions? You know? Maybe it's the correct decision. Maybe it's the wrong decision. Who freaking knows? Nobody knows. And nobody's even attempting to get into the debate because everybody gets ticked off with you and starts yelling and screaming, you're a gay supporter, oh my God. Or you're homophobic. And, you know, this reverts back to my old philosophy. If a debate has been raging for a long time and neither side has emerged as the clear and obvious winner based on evidence, it means both of them are probably wrong and don't know what they're talking about. So both the gay and the straight people have no idea what they're talking about. And yet we're all going to have to abide by the laws anyway. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. So what you wanna do?
Huh?
How many dudes you really know? Can flow. Like this. Like this. Like this. Let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. Check.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Talking about the things that are really, really difficult to people to deal with. You know, talking about gay marriage and such. Moving on, because I think I kind of covered that, you know, that I don't really know what causes it, if there's a blood test or if it's a result of BPA, which mimics estrogen and the thing, you know, turning people gay, or SSRI drugs or whatever. Some people think it's natural. Other people have proof that there's some cases that are artificial, but they don't have proof that everything's artificial, you know? I don't know. It's a real difficult one. Anyway, I wish I could take calls today, but we've had some problems with the phones, and I wish I could have guests today, but I had problems with them too. So it's just me. And also, here's the other element to understand here. Freedom, just general freedom. Do you think that you should have the government debate and decide whether or not you can express your love to somebody else in a legally documented form? I don't think the government has that right. So therefore, gay marriage is wrong. Right? Just purely because of the fact that they should be able to get married anyway without the government say-so, regardless. Okay? If a law is unjust, then it's your job to resist that law. And many people who were gay previous to homosexuality being made illegal, were still doing it anyway, weren't they? As if they were just doing it behind closed doors. And that's what happens. And you know, good on them. If you feel a certain way and you do a certain thing and you ain't hurting anybody and people are entering into it consensually, what's the problem? You know, what's the problem here? I don't get it. Nobody's ever tried to force me to marry somebody that I didn't want to marry. I wasn't born in some kind of arranged marriage situation like in the Indian caste system. You know, it's a weird one. Now, I don't actually even know what to talk about today. You know, I'm just so frustrated with the general situation of my country at the very least. You know, I mean, dig this: our Prime Minister John Key used to work for the Federal Reserve Bank for 2 years as the head of European bond and derivatives trading. He was the Merrill Lynch representative. And then he comes to back to New Zealand after goodness knows how many years abroad. So we don't even know what the hell the country's been like all these times that he's been away in Ireland and Europe and New York and stuff, doing financial trading and speculating on the New Zealand currency. And he comes back and he's worth 50 mil. And in fact, this is what I was wondering yesterday. Is he the wealthiest prime minister this country has ever had? Is he? Because when he came back out in Helensville, which is, I don't know, about 20 minutes drive from where I am, I drove past his electoral office a couple of weeks ago. And I was just thinking, what the hell, man? The guy's been out of the country for practically his entire freaking life, his entire professional career. And he comes back out of nowhere worth 50 million bucks, and all of a sudden he wins an electoral seat in a place where he hasn't lived at all and probably doesn't even really do shockingly really anything for any of those people. I mean, what is going on here? It's insane. It is really, really insane. Beyond a joke, and somebody can do this. And yet that's what happens. Apparently there was some other National Party MP for which that was their electoral seat, for which they were trying to represent their people and what have you. And then this rich boy comes in from frickin' nowhere and just takes it and becomes the Prime Minister all of a sudden. You know? He was just like, he was nowhere. He was nowhere, and then all of a sudden he was the Prime Minister. He wasn't even in the party. Isn't that unbelievable? How much money does it take to become an effective prime minister? Should you have been a poor person or whatever? I mean, because obviously if you're a broke-ass person, becoming the prime minister would be a great hefty challenge, because all of the other people that you've got in your social circles are probably likely to be just as broke as you, just as politically apathetic and incapable of supporting you anyway. And whereas if you're incredibly wealthy, people somehow look up to you and go, oh, well, you're a very wealthy person. You must be very successful. Therefore, you're going to be able to save our economy by getting it into massive quantities of debt. And sure enough, that's what happened. He comes in, 2008 financial crisis. Everybody's losing their jobs. 19 finance companies collapse inside of like 6 or 18 months together or something like that. Something ridiculous. And then he comes in, bails out all the banks, doesn't ask for a single share in them, starts passing legislation like nobody's business, apparently like something along the lines of 2 laws per day on average are being passed by this government, massive terrorism suppression, huge, massive debt they're getting the country into. We've reached a debt ceiling. Our currency has been devalued, and people think he saved the economy. You people are freaking retarded. Freaking retarded. Come on. Where's the reality? I can you not see it? You know why? Because all the people who freaking vote for any one of the two major parties, I'll probably offend a whole raft of political idiots out there, but I don't care, because it's the truth. If you're voting for any one of the two major parties in any country, they will frack you over big time. If you're supporting the lesser of two evils, you know? Hey, I can't complain, because I voted. Yes, I voted. I voted for the man I despised, and I'll wind up getting what I deserve. It's about right, isn't it? If the degree of political apathy in all of our nations accumulates into this, that you will elect somebody who you don't know, who you've never looked into their past, who does virtually the opposite of every single thing they said they would do, and yet you still believe every single thing they say, you are the person who's determining which direction your country is going, and you continue to support the country going down. Okay? Oh my giddy godfathers. It's ridiculous. It's totally out of the loop. And of course, the media doesn't help because they're not the ones informing people about these kind of things. I mean, occasionally they'll come out with a piece on John Key saying, you know, he said this, but he actually did this, you know, one or two times when he's done it over a million times. Well, not a million. Maybe that's a bit of a hyperbole. Maybe at least hundreds of lies. Maybe thousands. There's more lies coming out every single day. And I can guarantee you, it's the same thing with Obama. Same thing with whatever other leader you can really conceivably think of in the Western world. Isn't it? They're all lying scumbags. That's practically a requirement of the job. Hey, you got to lead a whole bunch of diverse people and frack their country up. And you think that they're going to employ honest people to do this? I mean, come on. Come on. Anybody who's been in charge of a group of diverse people knows that it's a hell of a lot easier to tell everybody a big lie that they'll all support than it is to tell them all the truth that they'll all support. People don't support the truth. You know, truth is dangerous. Truth is difficult. Truth is powerful. And if you're speaking truth to power, you ain't going to get elected. You know, the system's just not set up that way. Vast majority of people are literally too misinformed and or too stupid and or too apathetic to really know what the heck is going on, who they should in fact be voting for, or whether or not you should be voting at all. Under New Zealand electoral law, if you are registered to vote and you're required to by law, otherwise you get a fine or something like that, and you don't vote, then your vote gets given to the winners by proxy anyway. Okay? So you're legally obliged, not lawfully, mind you, but legally obliged to take part in the political process, even though the very fact that you are participating in the political process is the very thing that is ensuring scumbags get elected and hence destroy your country. Isn't that really horrific? I can't believe it. And you know, you have a look at people and they're still debating over it, you know. Oh, and what's the asset sales thing going on right now in New Zealand where they're trying to flog off our power companies to New Zealanders? We already own it. Okay? And what's interesting is that there's demonization afoot as well. So here's the two main parties, basically, the centre-left and the centre-right, which are both basically in the centre, and there's not really a hell of a lot of difference in between them. They pretend like there is, but there frickin' isn't. They'll both frack up the country by any means necessary. And all they do is promise people things that they think won't frack up the country, but will anyway. I mean, come on. The National Party comes out and says, okay, we're in massive debt that we got ourselves into. That we, the party, actually got ourselves into. And we did it deliberately. And we gave away huge quantities of money to finance companies, which collapsed. Insurance companies, which we didn't ask for a share in. And then we give contracts for, the Christchurch rebuild, for example, and appoint Jerry Brownlee, Mr. Earthquake Minister himself. The guy's so freaking gargantuan in his flabby stature. He could probably cause an earthquake if he really tried hard. You know, comes in. And now everybody in Christchurch is complaining about a lack of democracy. They're not even allowed to have political rallies in the centre of the city anymore due to this earthquake recovery minister guy. Okay? It doesn't matter what they do. They always mess you around. They always frack up the country. Always. For it to not be so is simply in break with tradition. Right? I remember Bill Hicks was talking about the election of Clinton and how he was great. Finally, this Republican beast elephant has been slain. And I feel like me and every artist in the freaking country are like little pygmy tribes shooting darts at that elephant, you know? And now it's just going, and then we're like running around doing a little pygmy dance. And yet, Clinton goes on to start illegal wars in Kosovo, repealing Glass-Steagall, which allowed massive derivatives trading to go forth, which wound up in 2008 with the culmination of the global economic credit crunch slash crisis slash whatever the hell else you want to call it. Okay? Even Bill Hicks was taken in by the Democrats at the time. And I'm sure if he'd lived to this day, he'd started to figure out that it's all complete BS and that he really hates it and that all the hypocrisy just continues and continues and continues. What's it all leading to? You know, many people don't even ask. Many people just don't freaking care. It's a sad, sad situation. I actually feel pain in my heart, like I've got some kind of a coronary episode coming on when I think about just how easy it is to manipulate people. You wear a nice suit and tie and you speak in a certain way and you dodge every damaging question with demonizing the other party, then people will get out of your palm of your hand. If I were to run to politics, and I'm never going to, Jesus, never. Unbelievable. It's like, why? What is the point? First of all, I won't win. Second of all, half the crowd, if not most of the crowd, in any political debate, which only a very, very minimal amount of people even go to, because people are just that politically apathetic these days anyway, most of them would just laugh at me. All the things that I say, and I had this idea, you know, I could run as a New World Order Party or something of that nature. We had a New World Order Party before in New Zealand, you know, like these two guys who were like going out into the streets trying to get 10-cent donations from people. It's just like unbelievably foolish. Really? And they say, we are the New World Order Party. We want a one world government and a one world currency. And I'm not kidding. This actually happened in the 2008 elections. I was there to cover it. They never turned up to any political debates. And essentially, they just created a little bit of a media buzz around themselves. And surprise, surprise, nobody voted for a New World Order. And I don't know who those guys are or what their motivation was. They certainly weren't part of the New World Order. Maybe they were just a couple of truthers who decided to start a political party based upon the New World Order principles to wake people up to the fact that there is a New World Order coming. You know, if so, good on you guys. Didn't win, even though you're preaching the same globalist policy that essentially all the other people are doing. And you know why? Because you weren't a frickin' scumbag with $50 million in your back pocket. Or wearing suits and ties and allowing people to be convinced of your lies and deception and scumbaggery while you go out and destroy the country. They're openly coming out and saying we're going to secede sovereignty and everything. No. You got to do that covertly if you want to win. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment for the show today. Man, this really is the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, even when it's just me ranting. God, I understand the frustration that people feel. I feel it too. You you just kind of think about the scumbaggery and the New World Order, and you start ranting and you go off on tangents, and, you know, you forget to take callers and you apologize for ranting. It's just, come on. I think we're all just dealing with it with a lot of frustration here, you know? Do you agree that life is pretty frustrating, particularly once you know that most of it's a freaking lie that you've had to support your entire life? You know, I remember when I was a young kid of, like, I don't know, 18, I think. Man, it was like 10 years ago. I voted for the Green Party, you know, and what was his name? Nandor Tantos, who we've had on the show, New Zealand's first Rastafarian parliamentarian. And I voted for him and the Green Party. And then I later on found out, through a little bit more awareness, that the Green Party was, well, basically edging him out as well. That he was implementing, or at least attempting to implement, policy that might have been good for people, like the clean slate scheme. If you get a conviction in New Zealand and it's a non-jailable offence, like if you get convicted and you don't get sent to jail within 7 years, you get your slate wiped clean, right? And your record is expunged, provided you don't commit any more crimes and get convicted of them. And it turns out that he was under surveillance by the State Intelligence Services of New Zealand, SIS, you know, the equivalent of NSA or CIA. And it turns out again that the Queen, that's right, the Queen Elizabeth has draconian power over the New Zealand Parliament, and that all of the parliamentarians are under surveillance. So in case they start doing things that the Queen doesn't like, she will get reports back and get that person removed. And that's not what happened to Nandor Tantos. Sure, he was surveilled, and sure, there was a big hurrah in the media about it, but he didn't get kicked out of Parliament. He left. And I will never forget his final address to Parliament, how before coming into politics, he had never had a watch, never had a timepiece, no need for it. He'd just be places at certain times and do job and work and that kind of thing, you know, as you do. And then, all of a sudden, he had to be in the chamber at a certain time, at a meeting at a certain time, at this, that, and the other at a certain time. And he absolutely hated it. This is part of what his speech was about. And he pulls a ball-peen hammer out of his inside jacket pocket, places his wristwatch on the bench, and smashes it in front of Parliament. That was freaking awesome. You know? Don't you wish that every politician was like that? An activist. Somebody who doesn't like all these rules, regulations, bureaucracies. And in really, professionalism. I don't like professionalism, namely because it makes everything colder, more rigid. In some cases, it works really well to be professional about stuff and get things done. But the thing is, you don't have to be very professional in order to get things done. If you've got passion instead of professionalism, you'll actually accomplish a heck of a lot more, I think. And if we have a constant stream of politician scumbags, which we do, that are always vying for control of the country, what does that really mean for the average person? Does that mean that, oh, I'm not a lying, cheating, sociopathic, rigid, unwavering, unpassionate, disenchanted piece of trash, therefore I can't help the country much? You know, unbeknownst to us, it's actually the people who are there to try and solve all these problems that I believe are really the cause of all these problems. Think about this mentality. I'm a frickin' scumbag. I'm a liar. I'm a sociopath. I'm a child rapist. I'm a political well-wisher to New World Order scumbaggery. And I love tyranny. And I love manipulating people. I joke and laugh behind the people's back while I stab them in it. That's the kind of mentality that I'm talking about here. Frickin' scumbags. This makes me so sick and so ill. And I don't think hate is too strong a word. I'm not hating any of these individuals in particular. I mean, I may go on about John Key or whatever, but he's just a puppet, you know, just like all the rest of them. And I've spoken to these people, and they're cold. They're horrifying specters to behold, like a frozen shade of darkness washed over them with their dead eyes and their very nice cufflinks. And these people think they are. They think they're better than me. They think they're better than you. They think that us, the conspiracy theorists, are insane. That we see through their lies. We see through the illusion that they project for us. And that is what makes us crazy. Because we're not sane enough to believe BS when there is contrary evidence ad infinitum, debunking it, all of it. Every single policy that I've ever seen implemented by this government has fracked people over, something chronic. And only very few times have they tried to introduce something that's a little too draconian for people to accept as the possibility, and now people are rising up against it. Like the vitamin suppression bill, whatever it was called. My friend Nicola Grace from Health Freedom New Zealand, top lady, organized and defeated a bill in Parliament that would, had it been passed, given the regulation of all vitamins and supplements to an Australian authority, which bans vitamins and supplements and minerals and stuff like that. It's all Codex Alimentarius. And Nicola knew tons about Codex Alimentarius. And she started to see it being implemented here, so she organized a movement to dislodge that trash. And here they are again. All right, the similar legislation is coming back. And I don't know if Nicola's heard about this. She's in Australia at the moment. I should probably give her a call and find out. But apparently they're going to try and pass it again. And what occurs to me is that, man, there really ain't anybody to step up and replace the skill, the discipline, and the dedication of somebody like Nicola Grace from Health Freedom New Zealand. I don't see anybody else with that kind of drive that she has, with the ability to speak. She's so well versed. Her practice and her speaking is great. You know, she'd make a great real politician. But because the political spectrum is corrupted and full of scumbags, she'd never win. You understand? So you have to make some kind of effect from the outside, if it's at all possible. And that's kind of the reason why I do this radio show, is people like Nicola really do need more coverage than they're currently getting. Because these issues that affect everybody in the country, and if it gets passed here, guaranteed, it'll be used as a precedent by other governments around the world to pass even similar draconian legislation in line with Agenda 21 and Codex Alimentarius, and name your conspiracy frickin' folder document here. We are all in this together in a non-collectivist way. We're all in a prison. A big psychological, mind-controlling, horrifically torturous Abu Ghraib prison that we call a free society. A free society that feels free to take away our rights, to take away our wealth,
to take away our children, to take away our resources, to take away our very morality and what it is to be human, and to censor and squeeze out those voices that rail and resist against it. Not on my watch. Hopefully not on yours, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. Thank you very much for doing so. And if you are capable of supporting me financially to get me back above water, please, please go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and subscribe for as little as a dollar a month, or make a one-off donation, and we'll give you some of those commercial-free archives as well. Thank you so much for your support, ladies and gentlemen. I actually broke down in tears last night when one of my listeners gave me $100, allows me to pay the rent this week. Thank you. We'll see you again.